Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me well. My name is Anupama, and I will be hosting the Mindfulness for Beginners session this morning. It is the 19th of November, Saturday, and we are all gathered here for the 57th Mindfulness for Beginners session in English. A very warm welcome to you all. Avasarai Bante, Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, as usual, will be residing in today's program. Thank you for joining us. We would like to actually start by commencing with the mindfulness session within the session. Thank you, Bante. Avasarai. Over to you.
Thanks, Anupama. Hello, everybody. So today, as the initial part, we will do an activity related to mindfulness. It's going to be a fun activity. For this, you need something that you can eat, probably a cookie or a biscuit. If you can quickly gather one, then we can start the activity for today.
Thank you, Bante. I will give a few minutes. If everyone can kindly raise their Zoom hand when they are back in their seats, we will commence the mindfulness activity. Thank you. I can see quite a few Zoom hands raised. We will give another minute or two. I think we might be ready, Bante.
Okay, so today the activity is related to eating something mindfully. Usually in our day-to-day lives, probably you take 5-6 meals per day, including the snacks as well. Probably 5-6 times you take something, you eat something. So during these times, we are usually not attentive. We sometimes read while eating. Some of you watch TV or some other media. So that type of attitude we have. Today, during the activity, we try to focus on the eating process. We try to experience the process with our senses. So that's the idea of the activity. And you can try this on your own. When you consume something in your day-to-day lives, try to pay attention. Try to pay attention. Try to be aware. Just for a few minutes, can we pay attention to the thing that we are doing? Can we be aware that we are eating something? Can we be aware that we are drinking something? That's the very practice that we are talking about. It's not only sitting and walking, but especially during your day-to-day activities, you have to make sure that you are paying attention. Sometimes you have to intentionally pay attention because our mind is wandering off. We are so used to these activities for years and years, we usually wander off during them. So today, the lesson is eating something mindfully. We'll try to go through this activity while taking some time, and I invite you, all of you, to experiment with this. Let's imagine that we have something totally new in our hand, right? It's not something that we have consumed before. We are eating this thing for the very first time, right? Let's step by step, we will go through. Step by step, we will experience what we are eating. We can use different senses and see how it feels. So if you are comfortable, you can turn on the video. It will be helpful for the activity as well. And now we are going to start. So the very first one is the sense of touch. Now you can hold your palm like this with the cookie or the biscuit, whatever you have on your palm. And as the very first part, we are going to experience this with the sense of touch. Try to see the weight of it. Try to see how it feels. Probably you can even use the other hand. Try to touch the surface, the texture, all these sensations you can experience. So all of us, let's take a few seconds to experience with the sense of touch what we have. And you are allowed to unmute and you can share your experience. Initially, we'll take a few seconds to experience what we feel with the sense of touch. Then we will share our ideas.
Who would like? May I?
Yes, sure.
Sure. So I have to confess, I usually am a fast eater. So I usually don't spend time over what I eat. So for the first time, actually, I'm feeling the texture of the cookie. It's actually quite a rough texture. And actually, while I'm holding it on my hand, not just the texture, I can actually smell it as well. And I'm obviously having a good look at it. It's got cracks. It's got like a stripy pattern on the back. So that's what I'm observing initially.
Yeah, that's a good observation. As you mentioned, we rush through these steps, right? You don't even know that this step was there. You directly put it in your mouth, right? That's how we go.
Yes.
So it's good to slow down a little. Try to be aware that we are eating something. And try to pay attention intentionally. Okay, so that's the idea. Anybody else would like to share something?
With permission, Panthe. So, yeah, I could sense the hardness of the item with my other fingers. And also the smoothness of it as I touch it. So yeah, I noted those two things. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Bante. I too, it's only the first time I've ever sort of like felt while we've eaten properly. I've touched it before and it normally just goes straight into my mouth through, I suppose, greediness. So I can feel the softness. I've got a piece of like a bun, my hand. It's light, soft, and a bit flaky. That's sort of a feeling. And I'm sort of waiting to put it into my mouth, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
So we will take it slow, probably somewhat torturous, the experiment. But we will go through it slowly. Okay, so that's the sense of touch, right? When we touch food, we can feel those sensations. Next, by any chance, do you hear any sound from it? You can just shake it and see whether you hear any sound, right? So that's the second sense, though, that we are trying. Any comments? No? No sound, probably, yeah.
What I have are two cashew nuts, Panthe. So if I shake, I do hear them clicking against each other.
But, right.
Yeah, other than that, I wouldn't have heard it if I didn't shake my hand. So.
Yeah. Okay, so
I've got an apple, Panthe, but unless I bite into it, I probably won't hear anything.
Right. So that's so far no sound. Then the sense of sight, right? So you can have a good look at it and see what are the observations. Probably you will notice something totally strange that you haven't noticed before.
And then the longer I look at it, there is my saliva glands have started working already.
Right. So I wanted to ask further down the activity, as you mentioned, if it is good for eating, we can see an internal reaction inside our body. So that's a sign that this is something good. right? Just because it feels good, because it smells good, it doesn't make those reactions. For example, perfume, it smells good, but you don't feel like, you know, eating it, right? So you get this saliva in your mouth, watery mouth. In addition, sometimes a craving inside you, right? So those are signs. You are programmed to identify things that you are about good to eat, right? That you are supposed to eat. So those reactions are there. So that's a good observation. You can see the internal reaction to your observation. Okay? Right. Any more observations?
So I also, as I look at the object, I see the kind of imperfections in it, the small marks, the cracks. And some, actually, I also noticed a doubt arise in the mind, in my mind, about is it actually good to eat? The imperfections make me doubt whether it's actually going to be good to eat.
Okay. So. Right. Anybody else? You are allowed to unmute. You can share.
Bhante, avasarai. I'm holding the quickest thing I could reach for was a banana, but it's so early in the morning. Well, for me, for breakfast, it's 7:46 or 7:48 at the moment in the morning. So it looks quite perfect. It looks smooth. It's heavy in my hand, and it's a ripe banana, but I... that saliva gland thing, it's not happening, and it's possible that I'm not ready to eat in the day yet. I don't know, but I don't see that many imperfections because it's a really nice one. The skin hasn't got many patterns or any marks, but I felt the coldness as I put it on my hand and I was touching from the other hand. The coldness has gone down a bit. Yeah, that's what I'm noticing.
Right. So those are good observations that probably you are not ready yet for eating. Just woke up early in the morning. So those are observations. Usually we don't have to pause food down. You have to identify what's the proper time for eating. So when we observe our own body, when we pay attention, we can see signs of them. Right? Next, we will try the sense of smell. So probably you can close your eyes and just try to take a deep breath and see. When you smell, try to see whether it is just a single smell or a combination of a few smells, maybe a mixture kind of thing. So this will trigger the internal reactions usually. When you smell, that's a strong message, right? And let me start sharing my idea. Now here, I only had like medicinal, some kind of a plant or something. And the smell is not good, right? It doesn't. It's after lunch here. So it doesn't make me try this one, right? It's some kind of a fungus kind of a smell that I get.
Avasarai Bhante. So as I was saying before, even... before consciously breathing in and trying to smell it, the smell actually hit me while I was touching it and feeling the texture. So something I haven't really consciously noted before because I rush into eating. So I've never taken the time to actually smell it. But because I slowed down, even before I tried to consciously smell it, I could... the waft hit me, so it's an oat cookie, so I can, I suppose, get the smell of a typical cookie, I would describe it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Anubhama. You don't have to smell it during the day-to-day eating when you're at a restaurant or somewhere. You just slow down and just take a few minutes to reflect that you are about to eat something. When you slow down, you can feel all these things. You don't have to try different sensors separately. We are just doing it as an activity. But when you practice in your day-to-day life, just reflect, you just slow down, you just stop and see, be aware that you are about to eat something. Just take a few seconds to notice it. It's like saying grace, right? That tradition of, I think Catholic tradition, they have saying grace. They reflect upon the meal that they are about to partake, right? So that very slowing down will let all this information in. You just have to stop for a while. Be aware that you're about to eat something. Okay. Any more comments regarding smell?
Bante avasarai. Yes. What I'm holding is a biscuit. It's I felt the crispy. And when I smell it, I got some sugary smell. And I don't feel like eating because it's too early for me. Thank you, Vante.
So all these sensors, if you really pay attention, you can see it's not a single sensory input. When it comes to smell, it's a combination. When it comes to taste, it's a combination. It's tiny, tiny pieces got together to make a single taste. But if you really pay attention, you can see there's no single smell. It's a combination always. Then there's no single taste. It's a combination. So these are observations when we slow down. Okay? Then probably we can move forward, right? Then the next one. So you can probably close your eyes. Just take a tiny bite. And slowly eat it. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Just slowly eat it till it becomes a liquid inside your mouth. Okay, so that's, we just took a single bite. And if you have anything to add, we can share.
Officer, I... Bante, I'm not sure. I've actually swallowed it as well now. So I was chewing. First time I was mindful when Bante said to just put it in your mouth. Normally I'm not aware, and I felt the texture in my mouth, and there was already saliva before, because by the time I smelled it and was looking at it, I could feel the inside me, all those things aware, they were sort of like building up. And even, I'm not really normally hungry, it's early morning for us here, just before 8 o'clock, and at this time, and my stomach was getting a bit, you know, pains, hunger pains, I could feel that as well. And I was just, as soon as Bante said to chew it, I was happily chewing it, and then straight away I swallowed it as well. So so it was sort of like quite sort of everything happened quite, you know, I was aware of it for the first time, but got on with it and happy to eat it. Bante.
Yeah, that very awareness is what we are recommending. It's just a single bite that we took, but we took it slowly with awareness, and so many details were observed. Tiny, tiny sensations. A whole bunch of them you can observe. Anybody else?
Okay, because it was an apple, I couldn't smell anything, but I just didn't realize that an apple peel can actually hold all its smells inside, because I couldn't actually smell anything at all. But when I was biting it, I because it's an apple, I was able to very slowly bite into it, and I realized, although I was biting from the front part of my mouth, the back of it was what was getting all activated, and and the saliva was rushing in, and I almost felt like a science lesson inside my mouth. Very, very slow motion. I could feel that it was all happening inside.
Yes.
So something I felt, Bhante, as with the smell, it was interesting that I couldn't actually smell anything, but I noted how I was looking for that smell. So I was like, where is the smell of the cashew nut, rather than actually being able to smell it. But in my mouth, once I placed it in my mouth, I was sensing the hardness and smoothness, the touch against the tongue and the teeth. And then as I was chewing it, it was how noting kind of the breakdown and the a lot of saliva building up with it. And the more I chewed it, the more the kind of sense of taste dissipated. I got less, actually. And eventually, yeah, I just felt actually it wasn't, swallowing it was the right, better thing to do, because it wasn't actually pleasant anymore, actually, to keep chewing it. So that's what I noticed.
Okay.
Bhante, I just want to say that the aftertaste that's in the mouth now after the first bite, not so pleasant. I think, as I think Arush was saying, I was feeling it because of chewing it really slowly, kind of lost interest. And now the aftertaste, I feel like taking a sip of water. That's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good observation. This would happen even throughout a single bite, as well as throughout a meal. This would happen, right? When you start, you have so much desire towards the food, and halfway through you get bored, right? Then the final part you just finish for the sake of finishing, right? So even during a single meal you can feel it, right? Even a lifetime when you take it, that's also the same story. Right, you start with so much excitement. Halfway through it, you get bored, right? You don't feel like continuing. Then towards the latter part of it, you just continue for the sake of continuing, right? So even within a single bite, we can see the Dhamma or the truth that we are talking about, that we are practicing.
Oh, sorry, Bhante, I also wanted to share that despite all of that, I also am now noting the desire to eat the other cashew nut that's in my hand. I want that.
We will take that opportunity. You can take another bite and try to see the other functions that you haven't noticed. Probably the functions of the tongue, probably how the teeth is supporting. You can try and see, try and observe. And also, if there's a sound, that's another good observation that you can do. Take your time, take it slowly. Maybe Namantha can share his idea this time.
Thank you, Bhante. So what I felt was there was automatic motion of the teeth grinding into the biscuit I was having, and I could feel the cream and the wheat powder, whatever, as different tastes, two different tastes, and also some disconnect with the action. Action was happening automatically as if someone else was doing the eating, and I could feel myself observing. And also I had in memory that the smell was very intense. When I smelled it twice, I could feel the intensity of the smell going up with a little bit of time advancing. And at the end, I had to stop smelling to ensure that I didn't end up eating it at that time. So That was one observation. But when I was eating it, the same intensity in the smell did not happen, did not take place during the eating. The eating was more a bit lazier than the smelling part. So for me, the smell was the more intense action or the perception that happened in this. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good observation. You can see all these details, how this process is changing and how it is more like automatic, right? It's like a machine eating. You just be there, right? The especially meals, you don't have to think. They somehow go down the throat, right? You just have to sit in front. You sit in front of a TV and it goes down, right? Or talk with somebody else, it goes down. So that's how we are programmed. If you want to be mindful, in a way, you have to break that automation. Instead, try to intentionally pay attention, right? The eating process might continue automatically. That's fine. But you can be aware of it. Otherwise, the entire thing happens without your knowledge, without your awareness. So it's good to slow down a little. And when you see most of these functions are more like automatic, you can really see it. Anybody else?
Avasarai Bante. When you mentioned automatic, I think what I realized was as soon as I start chewing the food, the swallowing function just happened, just like that. So I think because, like I said, I tend to be a fast eater. I don't spend time on the chewing. Straight away, the swallowing follows the chewing function. The other thing I noticed was the texture of my tongue against my lips and the teeth. So it was obviously different against the lips. And I could feel, I was hit by a sudden salty taste when my tongue touched the inside of my lips. And then I could feel the ridges of my teeth and the food stuck in between. And those are details that I would have completely miss otherwise.
Yeah, good observations. You can see the taste is changing. Throughout a single bite, the taste is changing. And different processes are there. Even tongue is supporting few functions. Maybe most of the time we don't notice. We think it's just tasting. But there are more functions. It is directing food towards the grinding places, right? And it is directing food towards the throat. So these functions are there when it comes to tongue. Right, so that's how we consume something. When we are in our usual life, we don't notice these things. We don't notice these things, how this eating process, how much complicated it is, and how it is supported. Right, so these are good observations. And if you have anything left, you can finish it quickly. Not quickly, probably. You can finish it and it'll be the end of our activity. Try to notice anything that you have missed. Okay. Do you have anything to add?
This time I noticed the sound, Bante, of the crunching.
Yeah. That's another observation that we usually miss.
Bante? I was waiting actually for Bante to say to eat the rest of their food. So I was sort of sitting there and then sort of like putting all the, I felt my saliva was getting more and I was keen to eat the rest of the bun and I felt the softness, all the things and the taste was more pronounced and the tongue rolling and, you know, biting the bun. And I was keen waiting for it to swallow as well quickly, but I slowed down this time. As Bante explained, you know, I was trying to be more mindful so that in future, when I'm sort of like eating, I can observe these, put this into practice a bit more. Thank you, Bante.
Yes.
Bante, Avasarai Bante, I noticed the solidity and split into small pieces and it's converted to a liquid state like that. So easy to swallow and taste as well. Yeah. Thank you, Bante.
Taste better as well, as you mentioned.
Yes. Taste better. Liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mixed with saliva, becomes a liquid, and that's how you taste it better, right? So before finishing, I just want to make a few comments regarding this activity. Now, when you eat something, what is the purpose? Is it just for survival that you eat? What do you think?
Bante, if I may add, I mostly eat too as a stress release.
Right. Not for so survival. That's a good observation.
Yes. I hope so that sometimes I want to eat sugar, and if I eat bread or rice, it won't satisfy me. I have to eat sugar at that time. Sometimes I have to eat bread or butter or rice. At that time, I cannot eat sugar. So the brain kind of gives a command, okay, this is the kind of food that you need. I don't know if it's a survival related thing in the body mechanisms, but I felt that it's that way, observed it that way.
Yeah, we all have those things, more like addictions. We self-medicate ourselves, right? Some of you might use food, right? Some of you might use alcohol. Some of you might use something else. So that's how we do. It's good to observe it. It's good to notice it, right? Any more comments regarding the question that I asked? Is it just for survival?
Bante.
Not for me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You carry on. Carry on, Arusha.
It's not solely for survival. I'm aware of the want for things driving, want for flavor. Actually, as I think you highlighted, Bante, want for activity. It's a relieving boredom, nothing to do. So munching something is something to do. Something I've been doing for the past couple of months is practicing intermittent fasting. Bante, you fast every day, but for us, that's quite an interesting experience of actually noticing hunger and also noticing when hunger is satiated, when hunger is satisfied, but the desire for food, the food still persists. And that's something I've been noticing over the past few months.
That's true. Valid points. As you mentioned, desire is there. We don't just eat for survival. Sometimes we survive to eat, right? The other way around, right? So that's there in our lives. So when you slow it down, you can really taste it, right? Although the desire is there for tasting, we don't slow down, right? Now we just had a cookie, right? But you felt the taste, you slowed down. It felt like you had a whole pack, right? So that's important point that we have a desire for the taste. And when we slow down, we can taste it better, right? So that's one point. And as you mentioned, when you have too much food, then you don't feel the taste, right? As you suggested, if you do intermittent fasting, right? Probably, I don't know how many hours you did. Probably try every once a day or 7 meals per week, right? So if you try it, then you can see when you go for the meal, you have so much desire. And whatever the thing that you eat, probably not tasty, but still the taste fills your mouth, right? Because you have this desire for food, you are hungry, right? For a hungry person, whatever that he eats, it tastes much better, right? So that's another thing. When you're hungry, you feel the taste much better. But as you mentioned, when you're hungry, you can't slow down, right? Probably halfway through the meal, you realize to be mindful, right? When your tummy is little full, then only the thought comes to be mindful. That's natural. That's natural. More like reptilian brain at work, how those animals work when they get food. They just eat it. They don't have any other attention. That's their priority. So similar functions are there in us as well. And as Imran mentioned, you mentioned, if you do this type of a fasting, then you can eat anything. Intermittent fasting, they usually say you can eat anything, but once a day, right? Once a day. So that type of a habit also you can practice, right? I think Samantha wanted to add something, right?
Yes, Bhante. I just wanted to say, I've recently also started, not intermittently, but eating like trying to eat two meals a day. So I would skip like a morning meal and start my first day of the meal around about, say, between 12 and 1. And then have maybe a snack, and then in the night by 7:30. So then I've noticed recently, usually I would just eat like to just if I'm bored, or eat more without if I'm thinking, and all the sugary stuff, and not conscious of whether it's healthy or not. But now I'm sort of like a bit more aware, and also I would just sort of like be mindful of what I was eating and not eat too much. So I'm more careful. And also when I'm doing a lot of activity, I've noticed that if I'm hungry, I will be eating just because I'm hungry and not out of desire. And before it was out of greed. Yeah, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Now, when it comes to these fasting things, probably if you try it for a few days, it's really hard. You have to gradually approach it, right? It takes time for your body to adjust, right? So it feels like torturing otherwise. So we are not recommending that type of a practice, right? You are living your lives. You have to function. You have to work. You have to do your responsibilities. Those things are there. So don't try to be too hard on you. Take it gradually. Step by step, you have to progress. Even for a monk, it takes few years for the body to adjust, right? Because it takes time. When you're adjusted, it's comfortably done, right? It's not a difficulty anymore. But adjusting takes a lot of time. So that I wanted to mention. Otherwise, we are directing you towards unnecessary things. That's not what we recommend. Okay. Then the advantages, Samantha mentioned few. Now the taste is one. You have desire for taste. And if you pay attention, if you're mindful, you can taste it better. Then the other thing is the digestion, right? Usually it starts in your mouth, right? The grinding part, mixing with saliva. So those are the very first steps. If you miss that, then the digestion will happen, but it won't be efficient as if you do it properly, right? So healthy body, healthy physical health, mental health, both are connected to these activities, right? Healthy digestion, and you pay attention, your practice grows, right? In addition, as you mentioned, whether this is something good for me, whether it is too much sugar, whether it is too much fat, that very awareness you will have when we eat mindfully. We know what we are eating. Of course, let's say you have sugar, but you eat sugary things, then the illness will continue, right? Drinking pills won't help, or taking insulin won't help. That's not how it goes, right? So paying attention will help. In addition, the quantity. Sometimes it is too much. So sometimes it is too little. So when you pay attention, you are aware, you know the proper quantities to have, right? So these are a few advantages of eating something mindfully. As you can see, mindfulness, the practice, whatever you do, you try to do it successfully. You eat something, it is healthy for you. The digestion is proper. You taste it much better. So these are the advantages. These are the advantages. And that's how this practice will change your life. Gradually it will change. So I can't recommend you to be mindful, be slow down every time. Maybe at least try to pick single meal per day. Okay, the breakfast or the dinner. Try to pick one and you don't have to even slow down. Try to just be mindful, allowing the body to take, allowing the process to happen, right? So that very awareness is what we are recommending. I remember one of the children from one of the Satipasalas, she was mentioning after this lesson, we decided at our home, dinner, we'll all to sit together and have it mindfully. That was our idea. So my sister, my father, mother, we all sit for 20 minutes dinner time and we turn off our TV and we just pay attention to the task, right? So that's more like saying grace. And we are being aware throughout the meal. Forget about mindfulness, at least sitting with your children and having a meal. That's very much valuable. That's very much valuable because although you are a family, sometimes you don't even get to see the faces, right? That busy you are. So it's good to slow down, just take some time, sit with the family and eat your meals leisurely. Eat your meals leisurely. At least single meal per day, if you can have that habit, right? So those are the things that will bring value to our lives. Those are the practices that we have to incorporate in our lives, right? Then as the final point, I think Mahatma Gandhi, he was mentioning, whatever the solid food that you have, drink it. Whatever the liquid food that you have, bite it. That's his advice. So what does he mean, right? When you have solid food, it directly goes to your stomach. You don't grind it that much, right? You just swallow it, right? So that's why we mentioned take it slow, allow it to become a liquid in your mouth before swallowing. Right? So that's what he means when he say, drink the solid food, right? Then he says, bite the liquids. The liquids, they usually bypass even the tongue and directly goes to the throat. That's how it goes, right? So you have to slow down. Just keep that liquid in your mouth for a while, bite it for a few times and taste it, right? That's the idea. So somewhat related to mindful eating as well. So these are the points that comes to my mind. So I hope today's activity was helpful. The invitation is to practice. This is the very practice, very essence of the practice that we are talking. See how much related they are, how much they are related to your day-to-day life. We are not talking about mystics. That's not us, right? It's simply related to your day-to-day life. Whatever the task at hand, can you be aware? Can you do it wholeheartedly? Whatever you do, it will be successful. Let it be eating, let it be brushing your teeth, whatever. Because you pay attention. You are doing it wholeheartedly. So that's the way towards happiness. And you are invited to practice. Okay, Namant, if there are no more, Anupama, yes, if there are no more comments, we can move forward.
Yes, sadhu. That was a brilliant mindfulness session for us all. Very practical and applicable to our day-to-day lives. And as Bhante explained very beautifully, many benefits to mindfully eating. Thank you for that. I certainly took a lot of points from that. We can now move on to the next part of our program, which is the Q&A session. I would like to kindly invite Sonali to kick it off by reading our reports for the day. Thank you, Sonali.
Avasarai Bante. Thank you, Anupama. There are two reports received for the day. I will start with the first one. Mindful walking. Walked on wooden floor, started at a regular pace, felt the cold temperature of the floor on the soles, specific movements of feet not noted this time, knew the body was walking and felt the body weight moving from side to side. Walking had slowed down after a while. A jumble of thoughts about the past and future also kept rising up in the mind. This was observed, but not suppressed. Sometimes the mind noted the movement of walking, and at other times, the streams of thoughts took prominence. Heard sounds in the vicinity few times, and it too passed away. Noted pressure on right hip, walked for 40 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body into a balanced position. After a couple of body scans, the breath was noted. Mind stayed with the sensation of breath for a while. When bunches of thoughts appeared, these were noted instead of reacting to them. Attention returned to the breath again. Long breaths were noted as long as mind stayed with breathing for another short while. Quietness of the early morning noted. Breath came into focus again. Unusual amounts of thoughts kept arising in the mind, although there was somehow no agitation about why it shouldn't happen. Temperature changes of in and out breath was not noticeable now. Body was calm and mind was fairly alert. Noticed the attention moving back and forth between breath and thoughts. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. Felt extremely tired in the last couple of weeks, and the mind was aware of this state. Several mistakes were made, partly due to this tiredness. On noticing this, chose to take time out to rest, even though for a few minutes here and there. The whole family have been feeling tired and under pressure with various deadlines that were time sensitive in the last couple of weeks. But we all managed to show enough empathy and patience with each other and glad that sparks didn't fly too many times. The closest explanation of this tiredness is like when someone is trying to take two in-breaths without an out-breath in between. Taking few minutes away from all the organizing at least a few times provided the much needed regulation of both mind and the body. Notice a part of the mind was active in this very stressful period. It was like a trustworthy companion standing by the side and above, witnessing everything but not judging or advising or changing anything. Some difficult yet essential decisions were made, I think helped by the quiet energy of this witnessing part of the mind. Options that emerged were clearer, although not all decisions were received with enthusiasm by the others, and that felt okay. Dear Bante, look forward to your valuable feedback and much merit to the organizers. End of report.
Yeah, I like to start with that analogy that you had. Right, it's like trying to take two in breaths without taking the out breath. Right, so that's a good analogy for the lives that most of the people are living. Right, so that's what happens. They don't even have time to breathe. Right, they struggle because they are running so fast. They have so many deadlines. They have so many tasks at hand. They have so many goals. So that's what's happening, right? Trying to take two in-breaths without allowing the out-breath. So that's a good analogy for the rush that we have, for the difficulty that we have. So this idea, it's instead of, you know, going for a target, or a destination, the idea is to slow down and enjoy the journey, right? So that's the idea. Let's say whatever the feast you want to find in your mind will come from that, not from a destination. Instead, when you start to appreciate the journey, you might be busy, that's fine. You might be working, you might have children, that's fine. Whatever the place, whatever the work, whatever the activities that you are doing, trying to find appreciation. Try to accept that journey, that very journey. If you accept, that is the peace that we are talking about. We usually think achieving something, the destination, the goals will help us. We usually think these destinations, goals will bring us happiness. But that's not true. Instead, they will bring more and more stress. They will bring more and more chaos, right? So the idea is to appreciate the journey. So that was mentioned in your report. As you mentioned, we know that we are stressful, but we try to somehow survive. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. That's also allowed. For the sake of humanity, you can make mistakes. You are not perfect. You are not superhuman, right? So allow them to happen. That's okay. Notice that you make mistakes. Notice that you make mistakes. Again and again, we don't try to change it. If you try to force something, that won't happen. Even try to force your thoughts, emotions, try to suppress them, that won't happen. One day, somehow, they will get out, right? So, as meditation, most of the people, they try to suppress thoughts, emotions. That's their meditation, right? And few months of meditation, they will get some disease or some mental issue, right? Because they are suppressing thoughts, emotions. They are trying to be superhuman. And that's not our practice. We try to be humans. We try to be faulty. We try to be true to ourselves, right? You can have thoughts, emotions. They might not be acceptable as per your standards. That's fine. Just let them be. Don't try to change anything. When you do this observation, naturally the change will follow, right? Our idea is just do the observation 101 times. Do the observation, right? When you do it, then you realize with time the change will follow. Otherwise, if you try to change, if you try to suppress, if you try to control too much, then I would say that's a pain-seeking behavior, right? Usually, most of the Buddhists, they have that, right? Especially when they start meditating, they have that, right? So, you have to be careful. We are not after pain-seeking behaviors. That's not our thing, right? Instead, we just do the observation. We just do it again and again and again. For example, as a monk, I can say sometimes we make mistakes. There are so many rules for a monk, right? 227 rules for a monk. And sometimes the mistakes are there, right? So there are ways to confess in a kind of a confession. Right, you notice in your mind that you are making these mistakes. That very observation, seeing it as a fault, seeing it as a mistake, that's the purification Buddha is giving. Right, you observe, you become aware, okay, I have made a mistake. That very realization, that very acknowledgement will make you purified. That's the idea of the behavior given to a monk, or vinaya given to a monk, right? So that's how we have to do, right? We might make mistakes. It's not like we were born as a monk, right? We had lay lives. We were living certain ways. So you make mistakes. But again and again and again, you try to notice, you try to observe that you are making a mistake. That very observation will help you. That very observation will help you. Otherwise, if you try to control, if you try to suppress, then it won't help. Let me relate this to something that we discussed earlier, now intermittent fasting, right? So usually the monk is allowed to eat in the morning, starting from dawn to noon, right? So you can have 2 meals or 3 meals, 5 meals during that time, okay? So that's the idea. Now, if you try to just force yourself to take a single meal from the beginning, then you will suffer. Sometimes you will become sick in the body. Sometimes you will become sick in the mind. So those things happen. So you have to take it slow, right? Okay, this time period, 6 hours, I can eat. I eat whatever the way and somehow survive, right? Gradually, you can go for a target, maybe once a day. Okay, or 7 meals per week. Let's say that's the ideal. But you can't really, really do that, right? So you just notice, okay, this is my ideal, but I am eating a few times, right? In the morning, 6 hours, during 6 hours, I eat few times. That very observation is there. And you continue for a few years, and suddenly you realize now only you are eating a single meal per day, right? It's not force. That has done it, right? If you try to force it, then you will become sick in the body, you will become sick in the mind, right? Instead, you do that observation. Okay, this is the ideal, this is my current situation, but somehow I am allowing some room for myself, right? Without forcing, when you continue for a few weeks, having that idea in the mind, and suddenly you realize, if I want, now I can survive with a single meal. Right? Not the breakfast and lunch, even with a single meal. Right? So that's how it goes. That's how it goes. So you can have faults. You can have mistakes in your life. For the sake of humanity, let them be. Just notice them as mistakes. Just continue with your observation. Then after a few months, few years, you suddenly realize, okay, now I'm no longer doing that mistake. Sometimes that realization will take a few months for you to, you know, realize that suddenly, now I'm not doing that mistake anymore. Right? Earlier, you used to suffer due to that mistake. That very practice is what we are recommending. Otherwise, you are trying to suppress your emotions, thoughts, and one way or other, they will come out. They are here to stay. They won't go that easy, right? So let them be. Let them be. There's that analogy, clouds in the sky. So what's the issue? If you try to stop, if you try to do traffic control to the clouds in the sky, then you will suffer. That's the only result that you will get. Instead, let them be. Let them be and just observe, okay, these clouds are there, they come and go, but I'm just observing. That very observation is what we are recommending. So you have to fuel it, you have to energize it with your repetitive formal practice, and the day-to-day practice will naturally grow like this. That energizing is important. You do your formal practice daily and you face your day. Somehow you survive, you make mistakes, but again tomorrow, another observation. Again you do mistakes, again another observation. That very observation is what we are recommending.
Thank you, Bhante. I do have another report. It is a short one, so I will start that. Walking meditation, 30 minutes. Stood at one end of the path and scanned the posture. Walked back and forth a few times. Observed the lifting, moving and placing of alternate feet. Also noted the feelings of warmth and slight irregularity of the carpet and the cool smoothness of the tiled area. Noted slight swaying and balancing of the body. Thoughts came and went, some leading to inner chatter. Then mindfulness of sitting 30 minutes. Sat in a relaxed posture, keeping the back straight, noted the movements of the breath on the chest and abdomen. Observed the breath at a point near the nostril where it was felt clearly. Tried to maintain the present moment awareness of the arising and passing away of each breath. Earlier, breaths were longer and the later ones than the later ones. Thoughts, subtle sensations came and went throughout the session. On most times, brought the awareness back to the breath. Several cycles of subtle breath accompanied by white clouds were seen. With gratitude to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
So now you start to see the changes in the breath cycles, right? You can see how it is changing with time. So that observation is valuable. Various things, other things will come, but you keep at it. Keep at this observation, and you can see how the breath is changing. That very observation you have to do, right? So this is not just the, it is just the beginning of the story, right? The remaining part is to be seen. I'm not giving any clues. Instead, try to observe these changes in your breath again and again. Try to see where these changes are leading you. That very observation is life-changing. Sorry. That very observation is life-changing, right? You start to see the change. You start to see how rapidly it is changing, right? That very observation is important. Even our day-to-day lives, you start to see the change with this. Even our day-to-day lives, you start to see how rapidly they are changing. So this is the stepping stone of the practice. Right? This is how you begin the practice. You start to see the change. Right? You see how the breath is changing. And compared to that, you will see how the world is changing. It's an indicator of the world when it comes to breath. When you see the breath is changing, finally, for the love of God, you start to see how the world is changing. That's very important, right? Otherwise, we think that this world is solid. This world is stable. This world is permanent. That's our idea. That's our worldview, right? So in the practice, they give this indicator. Buddha gives this indicator, which is the breath. It's an indicator of the world. When you see how the breath is changing, that's an indicator how the world is changing. So you are about to see that process. So we invite you to do this observation again and again. Keep paying attention to the breath. Allow other things to come and go. That's okay. But your task is to see the changing breath. See where it is leading you. See how it is changing. That's the idea I want to give.
Thank you, Bhante. That was the end of reports. If anyone's got questions, I will give you a quick minute to ask your questions. We've been in conversation in most of the session this time, so I'm not sure if anyone's got questions. Please raise your Zoom hand if you have, and I will let you unmute yourself. I don't see any hands raised, possibly because we have already expressed our views already. Anupama, maybe we should move on.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Sonali. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you so much. So thank you, everyone, for your great interactive participation so far today. Next, we actually move on to
the guidance that we give to everyone on how to establish a mindfulness practice on a daily basis. Most of you are familiar with it anyway, but if there are any newcomers, for example, you might find this guidance useful. So Namanth is kindly sharing his screen, which will show 5 points on it. I will copy and paste this to our chat as well, so you can go through it in your leisure time. So point number one actually refers to certain guidance videos we have on mindful walking and mindful sitting, and we would encourage you to have a look at this so it can help you establish your own practice. Point number two actually refers to allocating some time on a daily basis for yourself to practice a mindful walking and sitting. You can start from anything from 10 to 20 minutes and gradually build up. You know, some people go up to 1 hour for mindful walking and another 20 minutes maybe for the mindful sitting. But, you know, you can gradually adjust this according to your own, you know, pace and practice. And yeah, you can dedicate up to 1 to 2 hours a day eventually for your mindfulness, sitting and walking. The third point is actually, is to ask you to kindly, share your experience with us through report. I think Sonali just read a couple of reports to us, which is greatly helpful for your own development and others. And you will get the guidance of Bhante as well. And you can share these reports via Google form or email. The links are on there. To give a bit more guidance on mindful walking, for example, you can describe what your primary objective is. So what you perceived, such as bodily sensations, or example, what did you feel on the soles of your feet? What were the body movements like? And turning at the end of the walkway, etc. Or if you've had any thoughts and distractions, such as sounds, you can all put that down in your report. If you have any difficulties, again, maintaining your attention, etc., you can jot those down. Similarly, in mindful sitting, you can again describe your primary objective, whether it be your breath or bodily sensations, etc. And once again, mention your distractions or difficulties, challenges, if there are any. So thank you again for everyone for your participation and for continuing your daily practice in whatever shape or form, and sending us your reports. That's it for the intro. I think we have about 10 to 11 minutes, Bhante. If you would like to kindly proceed with your talks.
Okay, Anupama, yeah, we'll take some time. Just to discuss a little bit about the practice. I think we had a huge discussion today, but anyway, we will continue with a small talk that might help with your practice. Now, when it comes to mindfulness, we will see how the practice is evolving. Sometimes initially, for a beginner, it's really difficult. Sometimes they say that they feel a lot of stress, right? So that's the beginning point. That's the starting point. Stress is a good sign if you want to listen to it. If you know the message it is saying, it's a good sign. So when you feel stress in your day-to-day life, when you feel a lot of stress, that's a good sign that your mental health needs more attention, right? So some people, they find addictions to help with these things. Some people, they find medicine to help with these things. Once in a while, you might seek the help of practice similar to the practice that we are talking, right? So that type of a practice can really help you with your difficulties, with the difficulties, with the stress that you are feeling, right? So when you start, let's say a beginner, they feel a lot of stress in their day-to-day life and they start this practice. So your advice to be aware while sitting and while walking. Your advice to do this daily for 15, 20 minutes each. So probably early in the morning, you sit for 15, 20 minutes and try to be aware. Probably before bed, you walk for 15, 20 minutes and try to be aware. So that is the starting point of the practice. That's the usual advice we give. Okay. So if you are interested, you might do this. And when you do this, usually the complaint is that they feel a lot of stress, right? So they say, I feel a lot of stress. That's their comment. That's their complaint. So that complaint is natural. Why? Why? Because you don't have the strength of this practice yet. You are still a beginner. You don't have the power of mindfulness protecting you. So it is natural that you complain saying, I feel a lot of stress, right? But the advice should be to invite you to practice again and again. Okay, you feel a lot of stress. That's fine. Just continue with this practice. Daily 15, 20 minutes, do the mindful walking. Daily 15, 20 minutes, do the mindful sitting. That very invitation is given. And when you practice, even your terminology will change. The way you report will change. Earlier you were saying that I feel a lot of stress. I have so many problems. I have so many difficulties. That's your language. But when you practice for a while, even your language will change. Now, instead of saying, I feel a lot of stress, you might come and say, I have a lot of thoughts and due to them, I feel a lot of stress. Right? So that's an improvement. Instead of saying, you feel a lot of stress, now you are saying, I have a lot of thoughts. Now you observe the thoughts. And due to them, as a result of these thoughts, you get stress. You feel stress. Right? So that's a little bit distancing yourself from this process. Even in the language, there's a change. Without knowing, you are reporting these things. But there's a change in the language. Right? You are distancing yourself from the situation a little bit. Then again, same advice is given. Okay, allow the thoughts to come and go while try to observe that you are walking. Allow the thoughts to pass freely and be aware that you are breathing. That is the advice we give. And when they continue again and again, further, the language will change. Now they will come and say, instead of saying stress part, they will come and say, I notice, I observe a lot of thoughts. A large number of thoughts coming and going without your approval, without your invitation. So that's again, you are creating more and more distance from this process. The process that is happening, you are distancing yourself. Okay. And again, when you practice for a few more weeks, few more months, you realize now even that I is not there. Instead, you say that thoughts arise and they pass away. Now there is no doer. Instead, this process is happening. This process is happening. Thoughts arise by themselves and they pass away free. Right? That very observation you do again and again and again this process is happening, right? So when you practice for a while, you can really see how you are distancing yourself. Even your language will change. That we can see in your reports if you pay attention to them when during that part of our program, you can really see how the language is changing. Initially, there is a huge doer, right? Initially, I walk, I sit, I do. That's how you report, right? But with time, it becomes like an incident that we are witnessing, right? There is a walking process. While sitting, you feel this process. You feel the thoughts arising and passing. That very observation you are doing, right? So that's how we distance ourselves from the process that is happening. As I mentioned, you might come and say thoughts arise and they pass away without my imitation, without my approval. And again, you are invited to practice repetitively. Again and again, you are invited to spend more and more time on your practice. And with time, you realize that you were sitting for 40 minutes. You were walking for 40 minutes. Things were happening, right? Probably thoughts are there, but you can't really reflect on them. Something was going on. Some process was there. But when you wake up from the sitting, you can't really remember anything. That type of experience some of you might have. Now, what is this happening? That's distancing yourself even into a greater extent. Now, you don't even notice these thoughts. Not due to unmindfulness. You are sure that you are mindful. You are sure that you are aware. But still, there's nothing to mention during that time, right? It hasn't gone into your memory. So that type of experience you will have. Now you can see where we started and where we are ending, right? How the experience is changing with time. You started with a lot of stress. You were complaining, I have a lot of stress. I feel I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of difficulties. That's how you start, right? But with time, you realize that I was sitting for 45 minutes. I was walking for 45 minutes, but there's nothing really to report. If you pay attention, the things are there, but they don't attract your attention. There's some kind of a distance between the process and the observer. Or there is some kind of a disinterest in this process. So this is how the practice is maturing. When there is this disinterest, nothing can harm you. You know why? Because everything comes from that process. Everything comes from that flow. If you grab onto something, then that becomes a thing. That becomes your reality. And that very thing will harm you. When it is changing, you will suffer. When that thing is dead, you will cry, you will scream. If you don't hold on to things, then you are peaceful. You are free. That is how the practice will create a lasting peace in you. This process is there, this world is there, but nothing attracts your attention, nothing interests you. That very experience, that very distance will create a lasting peace in your mind. So this is a gradual process happening step by step. You can see the same process happening in your day-to-day lives as well. But it starts in the sitting, it starts in the walking. Naturally, it will spread towards your day-to-day life. Naturally, you will see that you are doing things. You go to work, you do your activities at home, you feed your children, you do these things. But you are not so much influenced by this process. You don't suffer as much as you used to suffer. That change will happen gradually in your day-to-day lives as well, right? So initially it starts in the sitting practice, walking practice, the formal practice, but gradually it is spreading towards your day-to-day life. So the idea is for you to practice. Maybe you are a newcomer. Maybe you have been here for a few weeks, few months, but you haven't started your practice. So we invite you to spend some time. We invite you to see how the practice is helping you. We invite you to feel how it is creating peace in your mind. And when you experience it, we don't need any other motivator. That very experience, that very peace will allow you to continue with your practice, allow you to spend time, more and more mindful time. So that's the idea. That's the evolution of this practice. So that's the idea I want to give for today. And I hope it was helpful. And thank you for listening. And thank you for being here. Anupama, over to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You touched on many very relevant topics, Bhante. I found the fact that you talked about how stress, which is ever present in our modern busy lives and running after goals, how we can actually use it to kind of direct ourselves towards mindful practice and improving our quality of life, mental and physical health. Thank you very much. There were a lot of great messages in there. I'm sure all the participants today took away a lot as well. Much merit to you again, Bhante, and to all the participants without whom this program would not be possible. Your interaction, your reports, everything greatly helps to enhance each other's experience as we tread the path of mindfulness in life. Also, the organizers behind this program, thank you very much again for your hard work and perseverance. I hope you all have a great week and very mindful and content week, and hoping to see you all again next Saturday, same time. Before we do the final wrap up and goodbyes, any final questions for Bhante? I'm sure, is it okay, Bhante? We may accommodate a last minute question if anyone has.
If they have a question, we can take a few minutes.
I see no Zoom hands raised. So I think, yes, that's it for today, Bhante. Thank you very much and have a good weekend all. May you be well. May you be happy.